We're recording.
Okay.
All right. Let's start. So I was looking for a Pesach topic that we hadn't done before. And Bedikas Chametz seemed like a really, really, really interesting one. A, for the Halacha L'maisa parts, because it is Halacha L'maisa, but B, mostly for our approach. And I suppose if you were going to put a Chakira on the table, it would be, you know, is Bedikas Chametz a mitzvah and we have to continue doing it along the lines that it's been done for the last 1,000 years or more? Or has the situation changed? Our homes have certainly changed, right? When Bedikas Chametz started, there was one room. It was a dark room. There was some part of it that was light. There was some part of it that wasn't. You know, are we supposed to hold on to as much as possible the format of Bedikas Chametz? Or no, is the point we have to find Chametz? You know, it's important to know that we have no Chametz in our house. So we go through a process, and the process evolves over time, as with some, but not all mitzvos. Okay, let's pull up some Mayer Makomos and see what we have. Okay, good. Let's start with an interesting question, which is the use of flashlights for Bedikas Chametz. So on the one hand, you say to yourself, what could be the problem with using a flashlight, right? You know, it's got to be better than. But I suppose the question is there a need for a ner? Now, why would there be a need for a ner? So let's look at the first source. Says the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, B'sha'ah shibnei adam mitzuyim bebateyem, v'or hane yafel l'bedika. Right? When's the time to do bedikas chametz? First of all, everybody should be home. So presumably, that's the evening. And also, v'or hane yafel l'bedika. When you use a candle during the course of the day, it doesn't really help much. But if you use it at night, okay, then you can actually see things. So it seems like there's something important about using a candle. Let's just finish the Gemara. Amar Abai Hilkach, Haitzur b'mei Rabbanan, the rabbi, lo liftach be'idna be'urta t'tzleisar denagi arbeisar. He should not start a shear on the late afternoon of the 13th, going into the 14th. That's the, you know, the eve of Erev Pesach. Dilma mishchale shmaita v'asi le'imnuye mi'mitzvah. Because his shear may go on, in which case we'll lose out on the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is Bedikas Chametz. So here too, you see, there's an affirmative obligation to search for Chametz, and the search for Chametz seems to have a certain format that perhaps we should sustain, even if it doesn't help in our search for Chametz. You know, when you start at the beginning, you say to yourself, well, I've cleaned all the rooms in my house. Well, if I've cleaned all the rooms in my house, doesn't that mean that I've already searched all the rooms in my house? So here, the sense you get is no. There's a formal search that's supposed to take place. And if you didn't do the formal search, you didn't get the mitzvah. Let's move on. Look at the Shulchan Aruch in source number 2. Says the Shulchan Aruch, B'tchilas leil yudalet ben Nisan, bodkim et hachametz leor haner. There too, we have this formal requirement that Bedikas Chametz takes place with a candle. Okay, where do you look? B'charin u'vistakin, b'chol ha-mekamot shederech lachnis sham chametz. You have to look in all places where generally you leave or you use chametz. Now, here's an interesting point. First of all, there's absolutely no requirement to search places where you've never brought chametz. So I don't know. You have an attic. You have a basement. You know that it's not a place that you've brought chametz. There's absolutely no requirement to check there. Next thing, it sounds like the way it's supposed to work in Bedikas Chametz is you're checking cracks and holes in the ground, and that's not really true. Meaning, in theory, we're supposed to be looking for chametz that's a kezias or more. That's a significant piece of chametz. It's true that we paskin that chametz is also b'mashehu, but chametz is only asur b'mashehu once Pesach starts. before Pesach, and we'll come to this soon, if you're mevatel chametz, that's it. You don't have to worry about it. It's not why we're worried about kizayis chametz, because maybe you'll eat it anyway, and that's going to mean iser d'oraisa. But in theory, bedikas chametz is supposed to be bedikas chametz for kizayis, not for crumbs, not for little bits that fell off a piece of bread or a granola bar or anything like that. Generally speaking, that's not the purpose of bedikas chametz. Okay, last source, and we'll come back to this idea of flashlights. Look at source number three. The Gemara in Zayin Amud Bet of Psachim has a fancy limud that connects a whole bunch of things. We'll just pick up in the middle to get this idea. V'chipus mineiros. You're supposed to look, and how do you know that? You learn it from the concept of a candle. D'chsiv ba'etahi achapes et Yerushalayim baneiros. Says the Navi Tzifanya, at that time I will search Jerusalem with candles. This is not a search for chametz. This is, I don't know how you'd call it, a metaphoric search for Avodah Zarah. There was and there is some connection between searching with candles and doing tshuva and finding Avodah Zarah. V'neiros miner, and the plural of neiros is learned from the singular, d'chsiv nishmat adam chofes kol chadrei vaten, right? That a person's soul is checked out, or he's checked out for averos in all of his hidden places of his body. Here you have some sense that there's a requirement to use candles, again, not to find chametz and not to see chametz, but the type of search that's being done in Tanakh, the type of search that's being done in Tzfanya, is a search for Avodah Zarah, is a search for sins, reminds us of doing tshuva, and perhaps that's a requirement for using candles during bedikas chametz. So how do we pasken halacha l'maisa? So again, most of this is not on the Bar Ilan, so I don't have it on the sheet. I know 30 years ago, Rav Ovadia said it was fine to use a flashlight, but only bedieved, right? And the original flashlights were flashlights, meaning there was some sense that they're not really like candles, that there's a filter, there's all these reasons people were afraid of using them. Nowadays, I think, it's always hard to say, it's most poskim think it's fine to use your phone or something like that. Obviously, searching with your phone is much better than searching with a candle, right? You're not afraid to look under a bed with your phone, nothing's going to catch on fire, and it's a much better light. So what do we do with the idea of using candles? What do we do with the neirot? So I saw this in a number of places, and I think it makes complete sense. I don't know, you use a candle, and your wife uses her phone. Everybody else in the family uses a phone. There probably ought to be a candle, at least for the beginning, maybe for the whole time, because it's a tradition. It reminds us of ideas beyond bedikas chametz. It reminds us to do tshuva, reminds us that we're searching, at least metaphorically, for averos and not just for chametz. So therefore, my suggestion, if anybody wants to take it, is it's better to use phones. It's better to use the light from a phone, the flashlight from a phone, because it really is strong and it really is helpful. On the other hand, to the extent possible, we want to keep using candles. I remember as a kid, using candles was spooky, or we're using it's a lovely thing to use candles. So to the extent we could do both, I think we should. Okay, that's it for flashlights. Let's move on to the next topic. Some of these things are separate topics. Some of these things overlap, but we'll do our best. An obvious question, something we mentioned a few minutes ago. If we do bitul, which we all do, it means that we basically make all of our chametz that we haven't sold ownerless. So what's the point of doing bedikas chametz if we don't own anything? I know I don't own anything because I was mevatel everything. Here we have two shitas. Source number four, the Magen Avram. Siman Tov Lamed Aleph in Aruch Chaim, he says as follows, Sivkat and Bet. Bodkin, says the Magen Avram, mi deoraisa bebitul ba'al masagi. Right, it's clear, min ha-Torah, when you're mevatel your chametz, that's all you have to do. You don't have to do bedikas chametz min ha-Torah. Dikishim mevatel belibo umafkiro, right, when you cancel ownership and you make it ownerless, shuv eino shelo, ve'eino over alav. It's no longer yours. And there's nothing to worry about. You can't be over the iser of Baal Yiro, Baal Yimotze, if you don't own the chametz, right? That's a standard accepted psak. You know, if you're walking in the street and you pass by a bakery, you don't have to turn away. It's not usur to look at chametz. It's usur to own chametz. Okay, that's a big issue in Israel now with hospitals and things like that. So why do we do it then? Says the Magen Avraham, Ela shechashishu shema yavo la'ochlo. Now the chashash is, you might land up eating the chametz in your house. V'lachein hitzrichu livdok ulva'aro min habayit. Therefore, we are required to get rid of it, to burn it, and get it out of our house. Okay? This is a fundamental understanding of chametz and the chumras that come with chametz, which is what? Well, let's read on. V'hadolo chashishu kein b'shar isurim. With respect to other isurim, we don't have such a chumra. There's no isur in owning treif. There's no isser in owning, you know, mac and cheese that's made, that's, you know, there's no isser in owning treif. There's no isser in owning basar b'chalav. What's the problem here? Says the Magen Avraham, and this is key. Shaini chametz delo bedile mine kuli shasa. The difference is chametz is mutter all year long. And we're afraid if you have it in your house, and you're allowed to eat it 358 days out of the year, you're going to eat it on Pesach. That's probably why the minhag is, if you sell chametz and you leave it in your house, you're supposed to cover it up. But that's a real concern. I think chametz is the only isser in the Torah that's just 1 week of the year. And generally, things are mutter or things are usser. So says the Magen Avraham, things that are normally usser, things that are normally mutter but are usser for a week, we need to be worried that we're going to eat it, even if we were mavatel it. Okay, so that's one reason for the gzeira. Second reason, inami, last full line, kevan shehichmiru alav Torah la'avor b'val yiro im einam mavatlan lachen yichmiru alav chachamim. Okay, the second one is a similar point. If there's an iser of bal yiro bal yimotzei, so we must. It must be that we're worried we want to get rid of the whole thing, right? That bittul won't help us with the isra of Baal Yiro, Baal Yimotzei. Okay, those are the two Magen Avrams, but that's an important point. When you say to yourself, I was mevatel my chametz, why do I have to search for it? The answer is, the main point, says the Magen Avram, is we're concerned. All year long, you eat granola bars. Okay, now 1 week a year, it's usur. But if you're not completely focused on that during the course of the year, then you might land up eating, and that's a problem. Okay? Good. Trying to get back to where we were. That's the Magen Avraham. Now let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. Source number 5. Says the Mishnah Berurah, it's the same issue he raises there. V'gam tzarech levata l'asachameitz u'kir l'kamon b'simotof l'amadal tzif beiz min ha-Torah be'echad man sagi. Says the Mishnah Berurah, min haTorah, you either need bittul or you need bedika. Dikishem mevatlo belibo umafkiro shuveino shelo veino over alav. Because once you mevatel it, you no longer own it, and therefore you can't be over the isra bal yiro bal yimotze. V'kol sheken kishebodeku mechapes acharav umevaaro min haolam. Certainly, if you don't have any, because you've gotten rid of it. Ela shechazal hichmiru. So then why do you have to do both? Right? If bittul works, why do you have to do bedikas chametz? So he says, chazal amachmir, de lo sagi be'achad mehem, ela bishnehem. That they require both, not only one. Why? Davka lefi shechashishu. Chazal had a particular chashash, and I think it's a real one. Listen to this. Because bittul is completely in your heart. Okay, you're going to look and see. You have a substantial amount of chametz. So you'll say the words, but lahafkir, Va'af she b'fiv yomar shehiyeh batel v'hefker v'chashiv ka'afra, right? You'll say the magic language, right? Kol chamir v'chamir adika b'shusi, you'll say the magic language. But you won't mean it. Why not? Because you have hundreds of dollars of chametz sitting there. And you're going to think to yourself, well, I'll be mevatel it now, but after Pesach, I'm going to come back and I'm going to eat it. That's a real problem. That could lead to the Isser of Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze. V'ulai yira b'nei ha'adam sh'yesh lo chametz bad kam alafim. I read this already. Lafkir. V'af she'befiv yomar she'yem batel v'hefker v'chashiv ka'afra mikol makom libo lo ken yachshov. V'lo yivatlenu b'leib shalem. You're not really going to be mevatel it. V'arehu over b'val yira sh'arei lo hotzimi beiso. Okay? That's an unbelievable chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah, which is, you're right. If you do bitul, you don't have to do bedika. But we don't trust you. Because the bitul is balev, right? I'm canceling my ownership. But how do I know that you really mean it? How do I know that you're not looking at this sealed box of Oreos and saying to yourself, okay, I'll be mevatel it now, and after Pesach, I'll eat it again. So therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, since we don't trust you to be mevatel your chametz because of the monetary loss, we're going to make you do both. You're going to have to do bitul, plus you're going to have to do bedika. Okay? Good? Fine. Let's move on. Next topic. What time are you supposed to do bedikas chametz? So we know, but let's look at the sources because they're interesting. Look at source number 6. Here's a Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tov Lamed Aleph Seif Aleph says, "Bitchilat Leil Yudalid Benisan Bodkim Et HaChametz LaOr HaNer." The beginning of Leil Yudalid Benisan, that is the night before Pesach, right? Erev Pesach, you have to be bodek the chametz b'charin uvstakim b'chol makamot shedech likanez sham chametz. Okay, you have to look where are you supposed to look. You're supposed to look in all the places that you've introduced chametz in your house. Se'if bet. Says the Mechaber, Yizaher kol adam shelo yatchil b'shum melacha v'lo yochal ad she'yivdok. Says the Shulchan Aruch, when you ask yourself, when are you supposed to do bedikas chametz? When I say the beginning of the night, the Mechaber says, I really mean it. You cannot eat dinner on Erev Pesach until you've searched for chametz, right? You can't do any malacha until you've searched for chametz. Second line, va'afilu im yesh lo eit kavua lilmod. You do daf yomi every night. Says the Mechaber, too bad. Lo yilmad ad she'yivdok. We're so concerned that you won't do bedikas chametz that there's a prohibition on learning during the time of bedikas chametz. Vim hitchil lilmod mi ba'od yom. What if the shir started? This really happens, right? If you're doing mincha mariv, so here it's slightly different because here they wait for tzeisak hacham for mariv. I think in most places in Chutz Laaretz, they do mincha before shkia and mariv after shkia. So there it's a little easier to daven mariv. But here we wait till the first time you're required to daven mariv. So what if you were learning before? And so he says, ain't tzarech lafsik, you don't have to cancel that shir. No, you're not supposed to learn between Mincha and Marv. V'chein nira li ikar. Okay, so I think again, in Teaneck, you're allowed to have a shir between Mincha and Marv because you're going to daven Marv before the Zman anyway, and you're going to have to say Shema later on at night. So since you're davening Marv before the Zman, it's not a problem to have a shir. Here in Israel, I think it might be a problem. It's hard to know. There are situations in which people say, if you have a whole bunch of people together, of course you can learn Torah. Because somebody will remind them that you have to stop the shir in time for Marv, and somebody will remind them after Marv, you have to do bedikas chametz. But I think it's important that in a shul, somebody announces or claps and says, no, you have to do bedikas chametz. And the answer is when you come home, you have to do it immediately. You know, do I know about snacks? Can you have it? I really don't know. But there does seem to be not just an emphasis, but like a fear that you might forget bedikas chametz. And I think the idea that you're going to eat supper and you're going to do work and do all these things and you do it later, that's a problem, not just because of the usual rules of Zrizin Makdim in the mitzvos, but because there's something almost formalistic, right? I come home Erev Pesach, and I take out my candle, and I take out my phone, and I do B'dikas Chametz with my family, and then and only then do I turn to other things. It seems like it's a really, really important value that we're supposed to have, and the Mechaber emphasizes it. Okay.
Ellie, it's somewhat akin to Hanukkah candles.
Same thing.
It's somewhat akin to Hanukkah candles.
Okay, you're right. They're both drabanans. It's a good example. You're right. Okay, let's move on to the next.
Ellie?
Yes. Yes.
I was having a thought about the preceding one. Is there another case where the Mishnah Berura says that they're so worried that we might not do something, and therefore
I couldn't think of one because I think it's unique. Again, if you could find me another case where something is mutter during the course of the year, you can't eat it during the course of the year, but during Pesach you can eat it.
No. I was referring to that they think that the Mechaber thinks so, is so trepidatious about our behavior.
Again, Jackie said Hanukkah, which I think makes sense. I think there's a similar halacha with respect to Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. But again, I started out with this idea that we're trying to balance a formal requirement with a substantive requirement, right? And I think sometimes the formal sort of takes precedence, where the Mechaber is saying, the first thing you have to do on Erev Pesach is B'dikas Chametz. What if you set 50 alarms, and you remind yourself 100 different ways that you can do it later? I think the Mechaber says, no, there's a formal aspect to the mitzvah, and we want to see the formal aspect fulfilled. The same thing, if you would argue with the idea that you could use a phone for B'dikas Chametz because you need a candle. That's trying to hold on to the formal aspect over, the practical aspect of the phone makes better sense.
No. I was referring to with when we say kol chamira, but we still have to sell, we can't see it. We have to sell it and all that.
I can't think of another example, but I think that chametz and Pesach is unique.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Now, what places require bidika? So here's an interesting thing. When you clean your house, presumably when you finish with your bedroom, you say to yourself, I have now finished with my bedroom. There is no chametz in here, right? It's pretty much true for the whole house. And if I ask you, are you sure you didn't bring any chametz into your bedroom since you cleaned it? And since it was a day ago, you're going to say, of course I did. So what's left to check? What parts of your house do you have to check? So look at source number 7. Says the Gemara in the first daf of Psachim, the Mishnah says, "Or la'arba asar bodkim et hachametz la'or haner." On the 14th at night, that's Erev Pesach, you have to search for chametz by candlelight. Kol makom she'ein machnisim bo chametz, ein tzarich bedika. Any place where you don't ever bring chametz doesn't need bedika. Okay, does this extend then to a room that I just checked? An hour ago, I finished with my basement. I know for a fact there's no chametz there. Do I have to do bedikas chametz? Says the Mechaber in source number 8, again, Sima Tov Lamed Gimel, HaMechabed Chedro B'Yud Gimel B'Nisan. If you cleaned your room on Yud Gimel, U'Mechavein Livdok HaChametz U'Luva'aro, and you intend, when you finish cleaning your room, you got rid of all the chametz in your room and you burned it. V'nizhar shelo lahachnis sham od chametz. And now you're really careful. You're not going to bring any more chametz into your room. You know for a fact there's no chametz in the room. Seems pretty clear to me that you're fine. Now, says the Mechaber, second line, afal pikein sarich livdok b'leil yudalet. Nevertheless, you have to check the next night or that night, on Leil Yudalit. Here, I really think you see the form over the substance, right? The Mechaber wants you to do bedikas chametz. He wants to do a full bedikas chametz. Now, you could claim the Mechaber, you know, lived in the 1500s. People didn't have big houses. You could argue that if the Mechaber knew it would take me 2 hours, he wouldn't have made me do it. I'm not sure. I think he's really into the form. Says the Ramal Haga, V'chol adam tzarich lechabed chadorav kodem habdika. It's so obvious it doesn't need to be said. But says the Ramal, obviously you don't want bedikas chametz to be the actual cleaning of your house. Says the Ramah, of course, I assume you checked your room, and now I'm requiring you to do it again. And then he gives you practical advice, which I think is really good. What should you really check? V'hakisim o batei yad shel begadim. What's going to get you? It's the pockets. It's the pockets of your coat that have, you know, that have a granola bar in them. I don't know. It's your golf bag. Okay, sorry. That's me. It's... You know, it's your knapsack. Shen no snibam lifamim chametz, and I'll add, and you forgot about it. Tzrichim bedika, right? Nobody says to themselves, oh yeah, I put granola bars in my coat pocket. But often you do. And therefore, says the Ramah, in addition to checking the regular parts of your house, you have to check coat pockets, you have to check shirt pockets, pants pockets, wherever it's possible that you put chametz. Because that's probably a place that you didn't check till now, and you need to. Okay? So the conclusion here is that the form beats out the substance. And even if you just cleaned your room that day, and you know for a fact you haven't introduced any chametz into it, the formal requirement of bedikas chametz requires you to check your room again for the mitzvah of bedikas chametz. And the Ramah says, of course, you're going to check, you're going to clean, the whole point is you're going to clean up before bedikas chametz, and then you're going to check it anyway. And you have to check knapsacks, and you have to check pockets, and you have to check coats, etc., etc. Okay, that's it for what places require bedika. Let's do another one. When you look in halacha, I'll give you a quick summary, and then we'll come back. The halacha is as follows. If you leave your house Erev Purim and you do not plan to come back to your house till after Pesach, you do not have to do Bedikas Chametz. You are patur from the requirement of Bedikas Chametz. However, if you leave the day after Purim, now you're within 30 days of Pesach, the requirement to do Bedikas Chametz kicks in. And you'd have to do bedikas chametz without a bracha. So, for example, if you're going to a hotel for Pesach, you have an absolute requirement to do bedikas chametz before you leave your house. If you're not home the night before, okay, so do it the day before, do it a week before. It's true you don't make a bracha. On the other hand, you do the mitzvah. Everybody with me? So look at source number 9. Says the Mechaber in Tuf Lamed Zayin, HaMefaresh miYabasha leYam, O Yotze b'Shayara. You're going out for a long trip. VeEino maniach b'veiso mi sheyivdog to shloshim yom. And there's not going to be anybody who you leave behind to do bedikas chametz within 30 days of Pesach. He says, Zakuk livdog. Oh, I'm sorry, This is you left within 30 days of Pesach. So then you're obligated 3 weeks before Pesach to check your house. V'lo yivarech az al biur chametz. But you're not going to make a bracha on biur chametz, which of course, strangely, we'll explain this in a minute, that's the bracha you make, right? You don't make asher kirisham sav sivanu al bidikat chametz or livdok et ha-chametz. You strangely make a bracha of al biur chametz. Kodem shloshim yom. Eino tzarech livdok. Okay, so within 30 days, you're supposed to check for chametz. You just don't make a bracha, but you do the maisa hamitzvah of bedikas chametz. If you're more than 30 days out from before Pesach, and you're not going to be home on Pesach, so you're not required to do bedikas chametz. Again, something I think speaks to the form of bedikas chametz as opposed to, you know, because presumably you have to check your house anyway. You have to make sure there's no chametz. But the answer is, it's a 30-day cutoff. If you're before 30 days, you don't have to do a formal bedikas chametz. If you're within 30 days, you do have to do a formal bedikas chametz. Now, why don't you make a bracha? So I would have said, well, safek brachas lahakel, right? Am I really obligated to do bedikas chametz? I don't know. It's not the night before Pesach, so I won't make a bracha. Turns out that's wrong. Says the Mishnah Berurah in source number 10, v'lo yivarech, dikishebodek bolel yudaled, tiknu livarech al biur chametz. When you check Erev Pesach, that's where Chazal said you have to make the bracha of al biur chametz, lefisha mashehu motzei bebedikato, hu matznia kedei livarol demachar. Because anything you find during Bedikas Chametz, you're going to set aside to burn the next day. Nimtza, turns out, dehabedika hu hatchalat habiur. If you're doing Bedikas Chametz on Erev Pesach, that's really the beginning of the Ikar mitzvah of biur chametz, of getting rid of the chametz, of burning it. Ma she'en kein kan shelo yivaro min ha'olam, right? If you do bedikas chametz 2 weeks before Pesach and you find a box of cookies, you don't have to throw it out. You could eat it. So the point of making a bracha of al biur chametz 2 weeks before Pesach doesn't make any sense. But when you find something the night before Pesach, you're going to burn it the next day. Therefore, the bracha of al biur chametz makes sense in that context. That was an important point. Everybody get that? Okay, 11. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Taf Lamed Gimel. Achein, im badak b'leil yud gimel la'or haner, she'b'lai la'or haner yafel l'bdika. If you checked on the 13th with a candle, because the candle works at night, v'nizhar heitev shelo lahachnis chametz, and you're very careful not to bring any chametz into that room or into that house, ein sarich lachzor v'libdok kein hiskimu rova achronim. You were yotze. You don't have to do bedikas chametz more than once. V'harotze lahachmir latzmo lachzor v'libdok al kol panim lo yivarech az. If you're going to do another bedikas chametz, even if it's on the 14th, you're not going to make a bracha because you already did bedikas chametz. It strikes me that the Mishnah Berurah is leaving open another possibility for us. Let's say you have a really big house, and it takes you a long, long time to do bedikas chametz. And I don't know, you don't want to spend that much time, you don't have that much time, whatever. It strikes me that the Mishnah Berurah is saying that you could do a formal bedikas chametz, let's say, you know, on your basement or on your attic on the 12th. Or on the 13th. Then when it comes time for the 14th, if you're careful not to bring chametz into those places that you've already checked, you'll just do bedikas chametz on the rest of your house. You'll save time. You'll allow yourself to focus more. It'll be a better bedikas chametz. So it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah thinks there's an in-between position, which is, of course, you need to do bedikas chametz on the 14th. And of course, you have to make a bracha if you're home. But if you want to get a head start when you're cleaning, you can do a formal / informal bedikas chametz at night with a candle. Don't make a bracha, but then you would not have to check those places again on the 14th. I don't know anybody who does that, but it strikes me that it's at least an option. Okay, last one here, 12. The Mishnah Berurah, last Mishnah Berurah says,
Ulinyan imutal.
Yeah,
one
sure.
Question. After Bior, you made a bracha after Bior. If you find chametz and it's not yet time to eat, you can eat, right? Or not?
No, because you've already been mevatel your chametz. That's exactly the point Mishnah Berurah made a while ago. We're concerned that your bittul won't be real. The second you're mevatel all your chametz, and we're mevatel chametz in two different ways. Right. After Bedikas Chametz, the night before Pesach, where we say, Kol Chamer Chamer Di'ika Birshusi, Dela Chazise Udela Biarte, meaning I'm being Mevatel all Chametz that I'm unaware of. What does that carve out? It carves out tomorrow morning's breakfast because you have a box of cereal sitting in your kitchen. But the next day at Bir Chametz, we say de chazise or de lo chazise, de biarti de lo biarti. Any chametz that I own, whether I'm aware of it or not, I'm a vatel. So if 5 minutes later you find the box of Oreos and you eat it, that undermines the whole bittel.
So people who burn their chametz at 8 a.m,
you can't say the bittel after burning if you haven't eaten breakfast yet. I know it's fun and you want to get it done with already, but you know, there are klalim. And the rule is, you know, I know this because years ago, I'm not saying it's 100% true, but you know, if you went to work and you want to eat breakfast at 9, but you needed to burn your chametz first at 7 a.m. So what do you do?
Right.
I think what you could do is you could not say kol chamira. Right? The bittul that we say right after throwing our chametz into Al Amzel's, you know, burning fire, or you know, wherever you go now. I don't know what the new minhag is. But you could hold that off, presumably, and only say it after you eat breakfast.
Okay, thank you.
What?
He's saying that people come to my house, and you're all welcome to my house. We do have a big burning.
Oh, are you inhabited from Amzels?
First of all, Halavai, I should go to there, Madrega, but we thankfully have people that come by, yes. Ellie,
it would have been so convenient for me if we still lived there.
True. Ellie, one more question about your earlier point. What about the fact that we keep challah if Shabbos is afterwards, or some of us keep chametz mamash? Your other earlier point that you can't have that in mind. I mean, is that a fiction? Don't we have that in mind?
No, you've sold it. You're not being mevatel the challah you plan to eat on Parsha Shabbos Shmini. It's not yours.
Right, but your point about the Oreos, we have a chashash.
No, but I'm assuming it's a box of Oreos that you found. So you're saying to me, well, what are you talking about? I sold it.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's why this gets dangerous.
I think that's been Shabbos Erev Pesach. Where you mevatel mevara on Friday morning, but you still keep challah for hamotzi Friday night and Shabbos morning.
You're 1,000% right. But again, that's the kol chamira that you say after bedikas chametz, right? We say kol chamira after we eat on erev. If Pesach was motzi Shabbos, so you're right. So you need challah on Shabbos. So after you eat your challah in the morning, then you can be mevatel all of your chametz. But you're right, you can't be mevatel. The danger is, if you're mevatel all your chametz and then you eat the challah, right, doesn't that show that you're undermining your whole bittul? Doesn't that show the whole thing was a joke? Of course it does. So you need to have two different categories. There's the chametz that I'm selling, if you're going to sell chametz, and if you're going to sell chametz mamash. You're not being mevatel that because the sale went into effect before you said kol chamira. Now, when I say kol chamira, I'm being mevatel other chametz that I'm unaware of. And I think in that case, if it turns out that you found a box of Oreos, you would have to throw it out. Because if you ate the Oreos, you would be undermining your whole bittul chametz. Okay, last Mishnah Berurah in 12. Dayo ula'in. Yes.
Ellie, the Mishnah Berurah answered in the 2 weeks before example why you can't say al bir chametz, why you don't make that bracha. But he doesn't address why don't we just then make a bracha al bedikas chametz.
You're right. Then we would be making, we're not going to make up a new bracha, right? If the bracha we make on bedikas chametz speaks to the fact that it's not, you're right. We could have said al bedikas chametz at night, and I'll be your chametz in the morning when we burn our chametz.
I understand why ordinarily we don't do it, because you said that bedika is the beginning of the beer process. But then the case where he's bodei 2 weeks beforehand, he said there you can't do it because clearly you're going to be eating chametz the next 2 weeks. Fine, I agree. So therefore, in that situation, you should make a bracha, or why don't you make a bracha of al bedikas chametz when he does that bedika 2 weeks beforehand?
It's a good question. I could tell you that we're really, really careful with brachos, right? We're really, really careful not to change the nusach ha-bracha, not to change the type of bracha. I'll give you a bizarre example just to let you know how machmir we are in this, right? My understanding, I've never been there, is that women make a bracha on tevila after they come out of the mikvah. No, before? I'm saying. Now, why don't you just do it before? So you can't do it before. Isn't every berachas hamitzvah over la'asiyah? Son, why can't you do it before? So the answer is because tevilas hager can't be done before. Because if you're a convert, you're not Jewish till you go into the mikvah. So you're going to tell me because of this bizarre, strange case of a convert, right? You know, every woman in the world makes a bracha in the mikvah, maybe after the tefillah in a wrong. The answer is yes, because we're really careful about the format of mitzvahs. And we're really careful about the format of brachas. That's all I can think of. Okay, let's finish. 12. What about checking 13 during the day? It's a really bright day. Can't I check? Lechatchila asur el tzarech lamtin ad leil yudalid. No, lechatchila you can't do it. You have to wait till the 14th at night. Ubidieved mira de'ein tzarech livdog shenis. If you check during the day, obviously without a bracha, okay, so you checked. It's hard to say that you didn't check. You just didn't do it formally in the way that we would have liked you to do it. Shekaz, okay. Really incredible. The Magen Avram says, I'm going to make you check again, at least one room. What does that mean to check one room? It's the formal aspect of the mitzvah. We want to make sure that you do the formal aspect of the mitzvah, and therefore the formal aspect of the mitzvah requires you to do it at night and to do it by candlelight, and therefore we're going to make you do that. Okay, last one. How do you do the bedika itself? No, not the, almost the last one. Oh, let me say one last thing. The 30-day thing, I think, is a consciousness mitzvah. Let me try to explain what I mean. If you leave your house Chanukah time, you know, because you have many, many homes, right? The halacha doesn't require you to keep Pesach in mind. Okay, you're a tzaddik, you want to keep Pesach in mind. But the halacha doesn't require you. It doesn't require you to start buying things in small quantities to make sure you have no chametz, right? It's not a requirement. But at 30 days, shloshim yom kodah achag, sholim v'dorshim behilchas achag, that's when the halacha says to you, you got to start keeping Pesach in mind. You can't just buy unlimited quantities of pasta or bread or whatever at Costco. You have to start keeping Pesach in mind. And from Purim, you have to think about bedikas chametz. But before Purim, the halacha is we're not interfering in your life. You know, before Purim, you have to worry about Purim. And before that, you have to worry about Chanukah. And before that, you have to worry about Sukkos. It's not a 12-month-a-year obsession about chametz. But within 30 days, you have to start thinking about it. You have to start being aware of it. And that awareness triggers the responsibility of doing bedikas chametz. Okay. How do you do bedikas chametz?
Clearly, the Yekis have a different view, Eli.
I have no insights. I'm sorry. Okay.
Trust me.
Here's the mechaber in Tof Lamed Bet. Kodem shiyaschil livdok yivarech hashek yishem sov sivanu al biur chametz, as we've said already. Now, what if you forgot? You were so excited to check chametz, you make a bracha. Vim hischil livdok below bracha. Yivarech calls mashlo yisayim bedikato. Okay, the halacha is so what? So you started checking. So long as you're still in the process of checking, you could still make a bracha. V'yizaher shelo yidaber bein habracha l'tchilat habedika. Says the mechaber, when you make a bracha of al bir chametz, that includes the searching. You have to start searching before you say something. It's very similar to, you know, you make a bracha on an apple. So you can't talk till you take a bite of the apple. But can you talk before the second bite? Of course, because the bracha had something to land on. You took a bite of the apple, so your bracha works. So now he points out, right? To keep a serious attitude and to keep decorum and to keep focused on the fact that you're doing a mitzvah, really it's best not to eat, not to talk at all. Because then you'll be more careful and you'll check more carefully. If you talk, it's not the end of the world. It would be best not to talk or to only talk in issues relating to Bedikas Chametz. Okay, very last topic. One of our favorites. Do you have to leave out Chametz? Right, when you're going to do Bedikas Chametz, you have to have somebody put out pieces of bread. What would be the theory behind putting out pieces of bread? What would be the theory behind not putting out pieces of bread? Okay, so here we go. Sif Bet, I think it's in Taf Lamed Bet also. I think it's the next Sif. Says the Mechaba. Okay, fine. If you have many, many homes, you can make one bracha, check all of them. Bim Balabait wrote, say, Yamid B'nei Veito at Slow, B'sha'ashu M'vorech. You make one bracha, then you send all your kids to check your different homes. It all works. Okay, don't worry about that. Says the Rama. So first thing to notice is it's not in the Mechaber at all. I don't know why that is. The Mechaber was a Mekubal. I'm not sure why he doesn't bring this. Says the Rama. V'nohagim lahaniach pititei chametz b'makom sheyimtzeim habodek. Says the Rama, the minhag is to leave chametz in the place where the bodek will find them. Obviously, it would be a complete tragedy if the bodek doesn't find them. Kidei shelo yehi birkato levatala. Right, so it's an interesting idea. Says the Rama, what happens if you do bedikas chametz, you don't find anything? So maybe this comes back to the idea that you make nebracha on the biur, right? If you don't find something to burn, is it a bracha levatala? So the Rama says, don't worry, don't risk it. Plant chametz. Umiyu im lo natan lo ikev. If you didn't, it's not a problem. The das kol adam im habracha levaer im nimtza. Right? Says the kolbo. No. When I say a bracha of al biur chametz, I mean if I find chametz, I will burn it. It doesn't mean that I found chametz. Last source says the Mishnah Brura. Cholek al zed de ein kan. I'm sorry. He quotes the sheet that says, "De'en kan chashash brach levatala, dechein hu hamitzvah livdok hachametz ulechapes acharav shema yimtza ve'im lo yimtza ein bekach klum." The Mishnah Berurah says it's unnecessary because the point is to search. If you don't find anything, congratulations, so your house was properly clean. Vahataz kosav oda bracha koyal mashi yivair lemacha bevaday mashi yashir meachilato. Says the Taz, you left over breakfast for the morning. You have stuff to burn already. You don't have to worry about a bracha levatala. Now we're just searching. Yaakov says, it's such a lovely minhag. Why would we cancel it? Also, it makes the bedika more exciting, right? Because, you know, you get to find stuff. V'ayin shem shenosan ta'amim leminhag. Gam ha'ari kasav minhag zeh. And the Ari didn't just have the minhag. He's the source that says, v'sheniach yud pititim. You don't just put out any bread. You put out 10 pieces of bread. Achen yesh li zoher harbei shelo ya'abed echad min ha'ptitim. V'ayin b'shari tshuva. Right? I can't tell you the panicked feeling you have when you know that your daughter put out 10 pieces of bread and you only found 9, right? Our minhag is to write it down on a piece of paper so that at the end you can search the piece of paper and make sure if you missed one, you know where it's hidden. But I know plenty of stories of people who couldn't find it. A guy told me earlier this week that his wife hid the chametz and then went away and he couldn't find the 10th one and he couldn't reach her. She had hidden it under the mattress. Like, that's insane. First of all, I don't know why anybody would hide under the mattress. Who puts food under the mattress? Unless you live in fear of your wife and you like to bring food into the bedroom, so you stick it under the mattress. I'm not sure exactly how it works. But the short answer is, we ought to leave out 10 pieces of bread. You know, does each one need to be a kezias? I don't know. We started doing that recently. putting out pieces that are at least to kizayis, because otherwise, you know, why are you doing it? It depends how much chametz you have, but putting it in a bag is critical because you don't want the crumbs getting all over. Even if you have the special Mir Yeshiva feather and spoon, the spoon I never got. Why they mail you a spoon? You can't do it without a spoon. I don't know, but we're going to do it anyway. But the short answer is, especially since it's an Ari and no one ever understands any of the Minhagi Ari, but they're cool because they're Kabbalah. I don't know where 10 comes from. Anybody have any idea why 10?
Okay. I always thought the 10 lost tribes. You're gathering in the 10 lost tribes.
I'm sure you're wrong, although I think that's very creative. I would much rather go like the Esser Makos or something. But okay, whatever it is, it's 10. It's Kabbalistic. We should be careful about it. It's good for B'dika, but we should be careful about it.
Has that minhag led to people fallaciously just searching for the 10 pieces and finished?
Yes, you know, there's a downside to it, I suppose, which is, you know, yeah, that people aren't looking as carefully as they could. But, you know, if you didn't do it, how would you look at all? You know what I mean? Like you come into a room, you know that your room is clean. You're not expecting to find anything. It's hard. It's true. You find different, you know, you're right. You don't want to turn B'dikas Chametz into just trying to get the 10 things that your daughter, you know, put out and then calling it a night. You want to try to do it as seriously as you can. And I think, you know, we've seen in the sources how important the formal search is, how important it is. And having in mind that I'm searching, you know, they're all good. I think there are all kinds of things you can find in your house if you're careful enough. And, I would say this. If you think your B'dikas Chametz would be better without planting Chametz, so don't plant Chametz. You know, I don't think you're required to do it. But I think it actually helps my B'dika. It helps with the feeling. So I'm going to do it. All right? All right. Shkach to everybody.
Ellie?
I don't know if we'll have a shir next Friday or not. I'll speak to Henry about it. Okay?
It's yontif for us, Ellie.
Oh.
No, next Friday.
Thanks for rubbing it
That's
in, Ellie.
Fantastic. I'm so Israeli. I didn't even think of that. So I'm going to give a shir to myself next Friday.
You can give
Maybe
it to
I'll
Elton.
Do it on Zoom. Yeah. Just so I can tell you about it afterwards. Okay. All right, so I'll see you in 2 weeks. Chag, Rav Amital always said, Chag Sameach v'kasher. He said no, he wasn't
Friday,
worried about
Friday
it being kasher. People are so obsessed
Friday
with Chametz.
Friday is not yet. Ellie.
What?
Friday is not yet. Friday is not the second day. Thursday is the second day.
Oh.
No, Henry.
No. Henry, get with the program.
Henry,
right.
No.
Because... All right.
Right.
That's because
right,
Henry was Henry's in Israel now, so he's speaking like an Israeli.
Give shear to
we're
Henry.
Not gonna discuss, we're not going to discuss whether Henry is keeping one day or two, although I think he just gave it away.
One day, very proud Jew, one day. And I have a very high authority that I got, so I'm comfortable.
Is that God or Rav Asher?
Okay. Well, okay, just for comic relief. 12 years ago, Rav Moshe Shapiro told me that I have to hold one day. And I told Rav Asher, and he says, under no circumstances. 6 years ago, or maybe 7 years ago, you know, things changed and whatever. And I went to Rav Asher. I said, you know, well, now can I hold one day? He says, yeah, you can hold one day. So I had two. First, I had Rav Moshe Shapiro's Zal. That which I didn't listen to, which I maybe I should have, and then I got a second hand.
All right, well, all that just to be the first person in history to say Rav Moshe Shapiro and comic relief in the same sentence. All right, bye everybody. Have a great
Ellie.
Night.
Ellie,
yes, Jackie.
Ellie. So the Chazan Ish, who as we know was Bodek, he would take out the swan that he was going to use on Pesach. And was bodek in the pages for he took, you know, he cleaned them when he did cleaning, he went through the pages to take out whatever crumbs there were. Would he have to been bodek the swarm also then and take play B'dikas Chametz?
First of all, I think the Chazon Ish actually used his swarm, which is different than the rest of us. So I don't know why you're so sure that he did that. Like I've heard all kinds of stories about the Chazon Ish. You're saying that he turned every page of every Gemara?
The Gemaras that he knew that he was going to be using over Pesach. He would take those down before Pesach and go through them. This is what I was told.
I don't know. Meister, I really don't know. Look, I assume it doesn't make sense to me because if I thought my Sfarim had chametz in them, I would open them up to get rid of the chametz, not because I'm going to use them on Pesach. The Isser of Bal Yerav Bal Yematzeh applies whether you use your Gemara Chulin or you don't. It wouldn't matter. No, it would still be Usser. I would much rather be Mavatel all my chametz. Also, let's face it. Any chametz you have in a Sefer, God forbid, is far less than a Kizatis. It's all Batel. Yeah.
Except if you hold a Chazon Ish here.
There's no way that works.
All right. Shkoch Eli, have a wonderful
day. Bye, everybody. Have a great, great Yantif.
Shabbat Shalom, Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Thank you.
And Chag Sameach V'Kasher.
Amen. You too. Okay. Bye-bye.
Shabbat Shalom.